T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Back with you on a Monday. Thank you so much for starting your day, your week with us. We appreciate it. Coming up, we will have your very first chance to win tickets to Wingfest coming up in Kansas City. And if you're a fan of chicken wings, then this will be right up your alley. Plus, Uncle Cracker will be there. It's coming up at the end of this month downtown at Knuckleheads. We'll give you a chance to win some tickets coming up. Later on in the program at 12:35. I didn't even look at the schedule. When are we playing?
We'll get to it when we get to it. We tell you right now, that would defeat the purpose. No point. We'll keep it a guess. Huh. Happy first day of school to those that started school today.
We have a poll question about that. Are your kids in school, or when do they start school? Today, next week, closer to September, or for those that don't have children in school, I don't have kids. That's fine. 50% so far early on, Jamie, starting school today. Congrats to mom and dad. You made it.
God, it feels early.
It does.
Doesn't it feel early?
It's August 12th.
But it feels early for kids. We didn't start till a little bit later in August.
Which, like, to me is mind-blowing.
Even that seems early to me now. It seems early that kids start before Labor Day. But, yeah, it seems really, really early today.
August 12th?
Yeah.
I mean, summer is still 6 weeks long.
Yeah. Yeah,
it's true. It still goes on. But, hey, we don't make those decisions. We don't.
Also, it is going to be extraordinarily hot this week. Today especially, and through the course of this week. And after another weekend where I was looking at stories again over the weekend out of Arkansas, I think, where bystanders broke open a window because a woman had gone into Walmart, I believe, but she was grocery shopping and forgotten her kid in the back seat when it was hot over the weekend. I shouldn't have to, but just be looking in car windows as you're out. I mean, even if, you know.
2-year-old was found dead in Lawrence yesterday.
What was that heat, though? I don't even know if that was. I just saw about the death. Just like as you're out and about, it's okay to be a little nosy, I think, when it's this hot. Take a glance in cars as you're out. Just check, make sure that, you know, there's nobody in there. But it's just going to be extraordinarily hot here for the next few days, so be careful.
The one in Lawrence, they're waiting to find out if it was heat-related. Yeah. And if so, it would be the 32nd pediatric vehicular heat stroke fatality this year and the second one in Kansas. They're still waiting to find out. It was 87 in Lawrence yesterday when they found this 2-year-old. That would have been 135 degrees inside that car.
Yeah, it does not take long when it is hot. And I hope we don't have to say anything about your pets. I'm going to focus on kids for the moment. Leave your pets at home. Just leave them at home this week. Don't take them out with you.
Stop bringing your pet to Home Depot.
But just with it being this hot this week, let's just all kind of be a little more vigilant.
Mm-hmm.
So the tweet from Mayor Quentin Lucas on Sunday, Quentin Lucas got the news when he was in church on Sunday morning of what had happened Saturday night in Kansas City shooting. This one, an 8-year-old boy who was shot and killed as he laid in bed late Saturday night. He was about to turn 9 on Sunday. His mom was going to take him to buy a new backpack for school that was starting this week. The mayor tweeted out, "Sad news of a child shot and killed at home this morning off Tracy today. Mom was hit as well. My condolences to the family, their friends, and our community that experiences too much of this trauma every day." And you heard some cuts of the mayor this morning on Kansas City's morning news about this one. Anytime it's a child, that hits you, I think, particularly hard. And the circumstances of this one also are rattling us. We're going to talk about this one. There was a lengthy story in the Star on Sunday morning about Missouri leads the U.S. in the rate of black homicide victims again. With that, the Kansas City, Missouri Police Chief Rick Smith, who does a blog online that you can always check out, he does it as needed, but he did one last Thursday. We also had yet to talk about the Olathe shooting, in which the 13-year-old shot the 14-year-old. We didn't know enough about that before we went off the air on Friday. We don't know a ton more about it now, but I think we've got a conversation that we need to have now. Let me tell you a little bit more detail about what happened late Saturday night. Out of Fox 4, neighbors pleaded for an end to the violence after an 8-year-old boy was shot and killed in his sleep late Saturday night. That boy has now been identified. His name is Brian Bartlett. He and an adult were home in the home near 83rd and Tracy when someone shot into the house at about 11:30 p.m. The boy was preparing to begin a new school year this week. At least 24 bullets hit the front and side of the home. And there were pictures of that all over media this weekend. In fact, I had heard it was more than 24. Striking the boy and an adult woman inside the home. The woman was injured with a gunshot wound to the leg, but is expected to recover. The boy was taken to a hospital where he died from his injuries. Jackson County Prosecutor Gene Peters Baker went on to Twitter over the weekend and said the boy loved math and playing with Legos. As she tweeted, he was exceptionally bright, very good at math, loved playing with Legos, and was very excited about the start of school. His mom was going to take him to get a backpack today, so he was ready. Justice must not be denied. Tips needed. And here was her other tweet. I know we are tired, even exasperated, but we must also feel the outrage over this little boy's death. His short life ended, and all of his future contributions to this community are gone, too. There is no suspect information. I have not heard any updates. I believe police are still looking into a motive, as we heard in Brian's news at 10 o'clock. They don't have a suspect yet. They need the information to find out. We don't even know. I've not heard yet whether this was random, whether this was what was going on. We just don't know how this happened. If you know anything, the TIPS hotline, 816-474-TIPS. 816-474-TIPS. Keep in mind, there's a net new $25,000 reward available for tips that lead to arrests in Kansas City homicide. Part of why we're talking about it. So in the past, I think we get fatigued a little bit. Not just us, but I think in general, society gets fatigued a bit when we hear about the same thing happening over and over and over again. And quite frankly, we have a challenge a bit in knowing what conversation to have when you have the same thing happening over and over again. But we're making the choice at least this point today to have some kind of conversation, because the second you stop talking about it is the second people forget, and then nothing gets done. So I want to hear your reactions. Again, coming up after news, we'll tell you more about what happened in Olathe, and we'll after the break, and we'll tell you more of what Rick Smith, the police chief, says about what needs to be done.
When we saw this story over the weekend, 8-year-old about to turn 9, sleeping in his bedroom, your heart is absolutely broken for this story. And I can't wait to take the phone calls from people. I can't wait. Can't wait for you to call us up and say, we need to come together. We need to have a conversation. First line in the story that I read is, this is terrible. It's got to stop. Well, the neighbor is right. But it's not gonna. I mean, Kansas City is on pace to break last year's total for murders. And I don't know if it'll be 2017, because 2017 was the highest in like 25 years. But nothing's going to change, and I don't know what the right answer is. And I don't think...
Yeah, you do. Don't we, though?
I don't know what the right answer is. Well, I've got... Let's do this. Let's take a break, because as soon as you and I start going on about this, we're going to have to cut it short. So even before we do that, we should take a time out. But if you want to join the conversation, do you have anything... If you can bring something to the table better than, we got to stop, we got to have a conversation, and we got to come together. Phone lines are open, 576-7798.
Here's what we'll also do. We will run through Mayor Lucas's ordinance that he proposed last Thursday. It was something he's talked about on this program before, but he got right to work and proposed the ordinance last Thursday before council committee. So we'll run through some of what's in that. And we'll tell you what the Kansas City, Missouri police chief says.
576-7798. Text in 22980. It's Midday with Jamie and Wicket on a Monday on KMBZ.
I'm heartbroken. I'm heartbroken by the fact that not only do we keep seeing these occurrences, but when something like this directly impacts a child.
That's Kansas City Mayor Quentin Lucas yesterday as he spoke following yet another shooting. This time, Jamie, it was an 8-year-old boy who was asleep in his bed.
This was 83rd and Tracy. About 11:30 on Saturday night, someone shoots into this home. At least 24 bullets hit the front and side of this home. The boy was inside in his bed. He was hit. So was the adult woman who was there. She had a gunshot wound to the leg, is expected to be okay, but the little boy died at a hospital. So far, police don't know anything, at least not that they're saying. But at last check, they didn't have any suspect information or motive, as we've heard. And what I hope is that they're getting help from people who might have seen or heard something. You know, that's the first step, is that people need to come forward with whatever they know.
576-7798. Before we go to the phones, one more from Mayor Lucas.
That's something that is, it's upsetting, it's frustrating, it's disgusting to me, really. The fact that there's somebody who's so reckless to just shoot into a house.
Now, what I want to know is who has, I mean, look, we have this, I don't want to sound like I'm mocking the situation or it's empty, but when we hear from anybody, we need, because, and when he was Councilman Lucas and we talked about gun violence on that side of Kansas City, it was, we need to come together. We need to have the conversation. This needs to stop. Well, we're having conversations. We have conversations all the time. We are trying to come together. And there were, what, 9 and 10 days or 11 and 12 days. There were 4 last weekend. This one is a little kid who's now gone. He was 8, was supposed to turn 9 yesterday. Conversations and coming together aren't doing it.
But it doesn't hurt.
That's fine.
I mean, because we can't not talk about it.
Absolutely. I think it's important for you and I and the community to continue to have the conversations, but something else has to get done. And before someone says arm people, a gun in the house wouldn't have stopped this. Arming the mother wouldn't have stopped this.
No. So the mayor, I mean, to his credit, he didn't waste any time. He last week, in his second week on the job, proposed a couple of ordinances, and this is what he talked about when he was on the air with us last week, would effectively ban minors from possessing handguns and give authorities the opportunity to get them off the streets. He has argued a lot that keeping young people from getting guns would also prevent them from using them as adults. And this was the quote that he had in the Star, and he said this here also. I would suspect a lot of people who are 18 years old didn't pick up their first gun at the age of 18. And I would think that what we're stopping now is when someone is being indoctrinated, sometimes into a life, they think they need to have a firearm. I'm hoping that this is a break in it. And that was because, I need to keep my week straight, when Aaron Langhofer was killed at First Friday, it was an 18-year-old who has been charged with second-degree murder in connection with that. It is already illegal under federal law for minors to possess handguns. Missouri law bans recklessly selling, leasing, loaning, giving away, or delivering any firearm to a minor without parental consent. The mayor said his ordinances relied on those laws to make it a municipal offense for a minor to possess a gun or for anyone to transfer one to a minor without parental consent.
576-7798. As the conversation continues, this is where we need you. And Joe in Kansas City is our leadoff hitter. Hey, Joe.
Hey, how you doing?
All right.
So I think that they should take the neighborhoods and make them more with cul-de-sacs. So a square mile would one way in, one way out. And the city should have cameras on that one way in, one way out. That way they can track who's going into the neighborhood. There's a shooting at this time. This is who's coming out of the neighborhood.
Well, let me, Joe, just so you can clarify, so I understand, I mean, you can't, I mean, you're saying create cul-de-sacs?
Well, you know how you, like off of 22nd and 71, they've created a barrier so that you can't turn left off of Campbell onto Campbell.
Okay.
They force you up to Charlotte. So there's ways that you can change the traffic patterns in and out of these neighborhoods that could give the police an opportunity to have the audio equipment or whatever that tracks the bullets being shot. And then, okay, we have a bullet, you know, bullets are going off in this neighborhood. And so they can head to one entrance to this neighborhood and one exit.
So I'm looking at a map really quickly because I didn't know the intersection of 83rd and Tracy without looking at a map.
Okay.
And I'm going to try to describe this to you. But the initial impression that I have is that this is a neighborhood that only has one way in. and one way out, or maybe two. But it's not like so that it's a neighborhood that is bordered by Troost and Lydia on one, okay. And then 81st Street and 83rd Terrace, essentially. And really, the only way into the neighborhood where this happened was to turn in off either President Avenue or whatever this little, President Avenue. I think this is a neighborhood in which you only have, you know, one or two entrances. It's not, this isn't like, you know, it's bordered by some major streets and then there's no way in off Lydia. There's no way into this neighborhood off 80, off of, it's cut off a bit. And so it kind of is isolated.
When they did the drive-by, they came in one way and went out another.
Or they came out the same way they came in.
We don't know. We really don't know that yet. And I think, look, I'm a big fan of adding more cameras. I know that makes some people really worried about Big Brother watching you and yada yada. But every idea that can save an 8-year-old's life from sleeping in his bed is a good idea. So, Joe, I don't hate your idea, man.
Here's what I think that does. I think that gives us more information to catch those responsible, which isn't bad. I don't know if it's a prevention measure. I don't know if people are not going to shoot up a house in that neighborhood because there are cameras or the threat of being caught. I don't know the psychology behind the potential of getting caught or the potential of punishment. If that is enough, if that were enough, I don't know that we'd have the violence that we did. You know, if that were enough, then we'd be putting a lot more money into prosecutors and police to solve the crimes.
I would like to think, and maybe you're right.
I have no idea.
Well, my assumption is if criminals who are going to shoot up a house where an 8-year-old boy and his mother are asleep would, and they don't think, I understand that, but you would think, hey, there's a camera here. I might get caught if I do this. Therefore, I'm not going to do this. I don't, you know, it's like, I understand what you're saying. Like, it catches somebody after the act. Is the camera there? Would the threat of a camera be enough of a deterrent from stopping someone from actually committing the act? I don't know.
My thought is that most of these shootings are impulsive and are not done with such intention that they're thinking about whether there are cameras up. And maybe that's a good thing. Maybe that way, you know, we still catch them. And if that's the concern, we don't know what this was. We don't know if this was a case of mistaken identity. If they, you know, if they went there intentionally and mm-hmm. it was the wrong people that lived there. We just don't know the situation where this happened.
Hey, Russ, you're going to be our leadoff hitter after the news. We'll get to Joyce. We'll get to Pat. We'll get to everybody. Joe, thank you for your phone call. Instead of just having the conversation about coming together and yada, yada, just we need to have the conversation as residents of this area. And that's where your ideas, your thoughts, 576-7798. I don't hate his idea of more cameras. I love the idea of more cameras.
Some of you, and to me, that's a neighborhood by neighborhood thing. Okay. That's, you know how I feel about that, I think. Mm-hmm. I have privacy issues with that. I don't know how I want that in my neighborhood, but I don't have to worry about, I don't feel like I have to have a gun with me at night to be safe in my neighborhood. And if I did, maybe that would be different.
Text in, I'm sorry.
And real quick, some of you were texting in about the culture of the black community, that this is a black-on-black violence problem. We can facilitate that conversation. Mm-hmm. I obviously don't have insight into that, but we can definitely help have that conversation.
By the way, I'd like to continue if you'd want to have that black-on-black crime conversation with the 14-year-old kid shot in Olathe.
Yes.
576-7798. Going to go to the phones. We're talking about, sadly, another day of gun violence over the weekend in Kansas City, and the gripping story that was out of Saturday night was the fact that a young 8-year-old boy in his bed was shot and didn't survive the injuries when he got to the hospital the day before his 9th birthday, random gunfire into his house.
And for those that want to have the black culture conversation, as Wicket pointed out before we went to news, we want to add to the conversation also, we never really talked about this last week because we didn't know much and we don't know much more about it now, but we have a 13-year-old boy who has been charged with shooting a 14-year-old in Olathe. That happened early Thursday morning last week. A 13-year-old from Roland Park was charged. That teen's name has not been released. The 14-year-old who died, Xavier Mendoza, died at the scene from a gunshot wound. Xavier was preparing to start his freshman year of high school at Olathe East, had just finished 8th grade at Pioneer Trail Middle School. Police had responded to reports of an armed disturbance in the 12500 block of South Constant Street at about 2:15 in the morning on Thursday. Details have not been released in that one.
Let's go right back to the phones and get your thoughts on this this whole situation, because we need to have more of this. We need to keep it going. You can't let this conversation go away. Russ is in Cameron, Missouri. Cameron, Russ, thank you so much for hanging on through the news, my friend.
I appreciate it. I just want to hit on the main point. 90% of all your killings and violent crime in this country is based on prohibition law, stuff that we outlaw, that we make these huge profit margins on, and then the criminal market takes over, and they can't go to the courts if they have a dispute, so they take it out on each other, and a lot of times mistakes happen, so there's collateral damage where other people get killed. If you just go back and study alcohol prohibition, you'll see how alcohol was sold legally, we made it illegal, and all of a sudden everybody's killing each other, fighting over turf for alcohol. And then we legalize it again, and all of a sudden people quit fighting over alcohol. But then we never learned our lessons from that. We made other drugs and other vices illegal. And so the criminal market, until you end this, you can do anything. You can pass any other laws you want in the world, but until you end prohibition laws, you're not going to end 90% of the violence, because it's all based off control of the illicit market. And even if you make the penalties higher, all you're going to do is make the profit margins for the illegal substance go higher. Supply and demand will come in, and you'll steal people come in to run that market. So prohibition laws are responsible for 90% of all your violence in the United States. In that, you'll end 90% of it.
Rush, thank you. I don't know if about 90, but I'll listen to what he has to say. If you want to decriminalize marijuana and make it legal, it's still the number one, you know, bought and sold drug out there from drug dealers. If you legalize that, I believe you'll have fewer turf wars. I believe that. I 100% support that.
I have a question, and yeah. I don't really expect you to know the answer to this, but if anybody knows, or I can research this during news, when it comes to turf wars, is that over drugs like marijuana? Because I have it. My impression is that it's not. My impression is that turf wars are over higher priced drugs. That turf wars, when it comes to gangs, are over heroin and or any more opioids, perhaps, but higher priced drugs maybe. And I don't know the stats between, it'd be interesting to look at actually, the crime stats between states that have legalized recreational marijuana and states that don't. I mean, I'll tell you, there's a lot of connection about the gun laws, but that's another conversation.
Different conversation.
But same conversation.
I think you, and this is just going off my gut feeling and to your question and to what Russ had to say, I will bet you. Now, there are other problems that come with legalizing marijuana, but I will bet you a lot of people will stop going to their drug dealer if they can go to a pot shop. Once that drug dealer stops selling marijuana, now do they start selling other things? Do they start ramping up their coke sales? They start ramping up their ecstasy sales, whatever it is. But I think you would have a lot fewer drug dealers that would be cutting up bricks of weed to sell out on the street if you legalize pot.
In answer to your question, yes, they're going to sell something else because they still need to make money somehow.
Sure.
And so they're just going to go and sell a different drug.
But the amount of people who I'm guessing are looking for that pot high, going to get that other drug, I think it's, you lose a lot of your clientele. I think a lot of your clientele goes away. Just my gut feeling. Russ, thank you, man. Appreciate it. Let's go to Joyce and Lee Summit. Hi, Joyce.
Hi. Like everyone else, I'm absolutely heartbroken over these children being killed. And terrified for my grandchildren. This epidemic has to stop, but it has to stop in the home. Too many single family homes, and parents need to sit down tonight with their children, and if they think they have a gun, take it. Or tell them that, you know, it's not good. They aren't being raised with values and compassion and regard for human life. I can't imagine any group or one person driving by a house and shooting it full of holes. Talk to your children tonight. Instill in them values and compassion and care of human life for themselves and everyone else. is getting so bad and out of control, it's terrifying.
It is, Joyce. And I will say this. You know, I'm looking at a violent crime chart in front of me through 2017, so I don't have the most up-to-date stats. But there were seven...
Kansas City?
Yeah, for Kansas City. The, you know, all the numbers that get crunched, yada, yada, 741.0, whatever that number represents, is the violent crime index in Kansas City. That's lower than what it was 10 years ago. I mean, if you look at the scale of it, it's kind of creeping back up, but it was much worse back at the turn of the 2001 year and 2002. It was higher. It's come down in the city. Now it's on its way back up a little bit. I mean, 2018 or 2017, we had, you know, more murders than we've seen in Kansas City since 2008.
Yeah, violent crime encompasses a lot.
Mm-hmm. Murder, rape, robbery, assault, burglary, theft, auto theft, and arson.
So it's possible there have been decreases in some of those other violent crimes, and when you put all of that together, there's a drop.
Murder rate is on its way up.
Yeah.
Murder rate is on
way
up.
No kidding.
And Joyce, thank you for your phone call. Great message. Pat's in Raymore. Hi, Pat.
Hi.
What's up?
Well, I think they should stop selling the ammunition. They can buy all the guns they want, but if you don't have bullets for them, that renders them useless, maybe to use as a club.
Well, Pat, I will tell you this. I'm not the world's biggest gun guy, but I don't think you're going to see a single store out there that will stop selling or will ever listen to the law telling them not to sell ammunition, because that's how they make money. That's what people go out and buy, and that is your right as an American to have guns and to be able to buy ammo in this country.
Well, it's the means to an end. You have to get rid of the guns somehow, and they're not going to turn them in. But if you even just restrict the sale of ammunition, make a register, a box of bullets, and then if it's more difficult to buy it, perhaps everybody wouldn't have a complete arsenal in their bedroom.
Pat, I will tell you this, that the strong pro-Second Amendment people that are listening to your statement, and while some might, like myself, would like to see that, they are cursing your name, saying that's not going to happen. You can't regulate ammunition. And I also wonder this. Does the gangbanger who pulled the trigger and fired 11 bullets into the house and killed this 8-year-old kid, is he going to Steve's ammo shop? Or is he acquiring his bullets some other way?
Three texters in a row just said to me, you can make your own ammo.
Well,
and a lot of people do.
See, and that's and I like your idea, Pat, but I ain't going to get it done. It's just not.
But again, we're listening to all ideas.
It's not no bad ideas. No bad ideas. Another weekend, more violence, and an 8-year-old kid is dead in his bed. David's in Lee's Summit. You're on KMBZ. Hi, David.
Yeah, I would wonder if requiring gun owners to register a ballistic sample might cut down on some of the drive-by shootings. If once you register it, even if it's stolen, it gives the police a big jump on tracking down who owned it, and where to start looking for who might have stolen it. And, you know, it could.
I'd be interested in knowing what percentage of these crimes that are committed are done with stolen guns.
I'll tell you what, the stolen gun thing is a big focus of Mayor Lucas's effort, that if you can, and again, I didn't even realize it's not against the law to, I'm rephrasing that backwards. You are not legally required to report it if your gun has been stolen. So we don't have an idea of what stolen guns are out there, which is part of what the mayor wants to change.
David, no bad ideas, man. Throwing it all on the table. 576-7798. We're taking more. We're having this conversation with you, taking any ideas. More gun violence in the city of Kansas City. This time it was murder number 90. Murder 90. And I believe I saw 16th kid. 16th kid killed this year in Kansas City.
I'm not even up on the numbers.
By this time last year, we were at 85. So Kansas City, you are ahead of last year's pace. 576-7798. What else do you want to throw into this conversation? Text in 22980. Nothing wrong with having the conversation, but the idea of we need to have a conversation and we need to come together is played out.
Well, and here's the thing. As I started the show by saying, the worst thing we can do is be complacent about it. Ordinarily, we don't. In the past, we had never talked about Kansas City's murders this much. Because quite frankly, I don't know how much all of you care. I don't know how much all of you are going to listen to that conversation. But when you have an 8-year-old shot dead just by sleeping in his bed, that is a conversation. We can't forget that. We need to keep talking about that until we get to some better ideas.
I want to correct what I said. He's the fifth kid under the age of 16. That's where I got my 16 from. Fifth child under the age of 16 to be killed this year. 576-7798. 576-7798. Coming up after the news, we'll tell you what happened inside a Maryland Outback Steakhouse that's got a family very upset. Why they were asked to leave. We'll get to that coming up. But right now we're conversing with you about gun violence in Kansas City. Seemingly a weekly or daily conversation we're having. This time an 8-year-old boy was shot and killed while sleeping in his bed.
Yeah, let's get to your calls because you've got some other ideas to throw in here.
Let's go to Nathan in KCK. Hi, Nathan.
Hey, how y'all doing today?
All right, man. Go ahead.
Hey, I'm going to start this off by telling people so they don't get completely crazy with me. I am a gun owner, and I love owning guns and shooting guns. But at the same time, I understand that we have got to be better about teaching responsibility to children. And it comes from two things. One is in our homes, we lack discipline in homes. We lack discipline in schools. We lack discipline everywhere. And now we've got kids that are so wound up tight that the only way they know how to react half the time is through some type of violent act. And that's studies have been proven to show that kids in lower income areas resort to violence because they don't know how to use their words. They don't know how to make things happen properly because they feel the only thing they can do is resort to violence. And I just wish we could have better conversation about how do we work with raising better kids. But the problem is most of the parents don't even know how to raise their kids because either grandparents are doing it or they just never were raised properly themselves. So,
Nathan, thank you for your input, friend. 576-7798.
A lot of this comes from poverty. A lot of this comes from desperation. A lot of the kids end up getting into violence because they get into gangs because for financial purposes, for the money and to have a family to protect them.
Let's go to Mary in Grandview. Hi, Mary.
Hi. I lived over there for 44 years, and I raised my daughter, and she went to the Center School District. And when we moved over there, it was blue-collar workers, and we didn't have this kind of violence. Well, I moved from there a year ago because I was in my bed. I'm a widow. My husband died 4 years ago, and I was in my bed a year ago, and I heard pop, 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 pop right at my house. And I thought, time to go. So I left because I'm not going to be over there at 67 years old and have guns going off in front of my house. And it didn't used to be that way. It was a good neighborhood. It was everybody knew everybody. We would have block parties. Not anymore. You can't. It's dangerous.
How are you enjoying Grandview?
I love Grandview.
Hey, Mary, thank you for your phone call. We appreciate your story. Let's go to Greg in Overland Park. Hi, Greg.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
You got it.
I hope this isn't a million dollar idea and somebody takes it. But so I'm going to kind of drift a little bit here. I fly drones. And if I have a drone and I need to go into a secure space, I have to log in and I can put a credit card info or whatever. And then I'm allowed to fly into that area. Why not have something in a gun where, A, they already have the palm thing where you have to have, you know, it has to match your palm to fire. But why not have a GPS tracker in there or some sort of lock that if you're going to use your gun, you have to, like, get online and register, say, hey, I'm going to be in this area, out target shooting, or the gun won't fire. And then what if it, you know, it's trackable, or if a gun goes off, that sends a signal to the police or whatever, you know.
Greg, it's an idea for every new gun to be made with something like that, but we got thousands of guns in Kansas City, Missouri alone
right,
that don't have that GPS tracker on it.
So this, but this problem is going to go on forever until we start doing something to stop it.
No bad ideas, man. No bad ideas, Greg.
And you can't fix the kids overnight. You know, I mean, we can't rely on the parents, so why not start manufacturing guns and implicate, you know what I'm saying? Put this in place for guns so they can't just fire all the time. Or, you know, I don't know. Just a thought.
Hey, Greg, look, if it's a way to make it a long-term fix, it's on the table. That is not going to solve anything in the near future, as you know, but nothing wrong with that.
By the way, Grandview, when you said, how are things in Grandview?
It's not exactly a crime-free area.
Jarred my memory, and I wanted to check real quick. We had a 15-year-old who was shot in Grandview last week by an employee of a business during an attempted robbery. Was taken into police custody, non-life-threatening injuries, but we still had a 15-year-old shot.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know that there's any part of the metro that you can say, I don't need to worry about this here. You know. I wouldn't think like that.
Right. I mean, we had two over at Oak Park Mall a year ago.
Yeah.
Let's go to Bob and Olathe. Bob, thanks for calling, man.
How you guys doing?
All right.
Well, I was just thinking, you know, to make a balance and try to make everybody happy, what about the idea of everybody you can have a gun if you want, but just keep it in your house. And that way, the most meaningful defense it seems people come up with is, I want to protect my home. And that's pretty understandable. If someone comes knocking at your door at 3:30, you don't know them, and they're still, you know, won't leave, that way you can at least defend yourself. But I don't think having them in your car for a convenient drive-by is like a necessity.
Well, the thing is, people want to have it for protection if they're at a Walmart, for example, or they're at a park, or they're wherever. People want to feel that they can protect themselves at all times.
And not everybody knocks before they shoot up your house with two dozen bullets.
This person, you know, this story we're talking about now, she may have had a gun in the house. Not going to matter. Right. People were asleep. It was 11:30 at night, and somebody sprayed the house.
Yeah.
And now an 8-year-old kid's dead.
Yeah.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.